Can you just give us a brief introduction to yourself?
Yeah, Sam Watson, Aboriginal community worker and organiser in Brisbane.
Okay. So last Saturday there was a rally against deaths in custody, black deaths in custody. Why has this become an important issue at the moment?
Well, month by month we're seeing again an increase in the arrest rates for Aboriginal people, an increase in the flow of Aboriginal people into prisons and jails and watch houses, and then there's also been a corresponding increase in the rate of deaths in custody within the Aboriginal community, and this is just not acceptable. I mean, 19 years after the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody handed down their findings and their recommendations, it appears that the Queensland government has just learnt nothing from that experience and have really failed to implement those basic recommendations. So every time an Aboriginal person is taken into custody, they're at substantial risk.
You were involved in the original Royal Commission, is that correct?
Yeah, just as a support worker.
Okay.
I liaised between the victims, the families, and the community and the Royal Commission itself.
Okay. And what do you think are some of the main recommendations that that haven't been implemented that have really affected the situation today?
Well, the fundamental principle of the 339 recommendations is that where possible, Aboriginal people should be diverted away from watch houses, diverted away from custody. So when we have situations where there are minor offences, that little likelihood that the Aboriginal offender will cause any further problems, that in a situation where Aboriginal people just need a place to go and sleep off their period of intoxication, then in those situations the Royal Commission really did encourage police officers to make decisions to divert those prisoners, that class of prisoners, away from watch houses and jails, and that has to happen. Here in Brisbane we've been able to achieve a solid working partnership with the Queensland Police Service, but unfortunately in other communities police still appear to be very, very determined to take Aboriginal people and put them into watch houses and incarcerate them. And unfortunately, that, as I said, that is placing Aboriginal prisoners at severe risk.
Yep. You're involved with a group in Brisbane called Murray Watch, is that correct?
That's right. We have a diversionary centre operating at Woolloongabba, and since we started operating back in 1991, there's not been a single Aboriginal death in custody in a Greater Brisbane Watch House. So we've achieved a great deal. As I said, we've established a solid partnership with working police, and we would acknowledge that the Queensland Police Service here in Brisbane is committed and professional and working well with Aboriginal agencies like Murray Watch.
Yep. At the rally last Saturday, there was a call for another Royal Commission into deaths in custody. What do you think that will achieve?
Well, again, we really need to revisit the original Royal Commission that took evidence across Australia throughout 1988 and 1989. They examined 99 selected Aboriginal deaths in custody. They handed down the recommendations in 1991, and in 1992, the six states and the two territories accepted and endorsed those recommendations. What we need to do now is go back to those recommendations and do a report card to find out which of those recommendations have been implemented, where has the system failed to implement those recommendations, and why is there that increasing rate of Aboriginal deaths in custody. So what's happening? Where are the breakdowns occurring? Because I'm sure that every Australian citizen would like to see any person who goes into police custody come out alive, and that's essentially what Murray Watch is committed to, and that's essentially why Aboriginal people are again fighting this political battle.
Yep. On Saturday as well, you mentioned that the Murrunji Dumuji case highlights some important issues around deaths in custody. Can you outline some of those issues? I know you've mentioned some of them already.
Yeah, well, on that day, on November the 19th, 2004, the police officers who were involved in the case at that time had a clear alternative. They didn't need to arrest Mr. Duminci. They didn't need to then transport him to the watch house. It's a small island. There's only 3,000 people living on the island. And it wouldn't have been any problem for the police officer in charge, Mr. Hurley, to take the name and address of Mr. Duminci and then serve him with a notice to appear on a tort, which is a procedure that's being adopted right across Australia. So, but Mr. Hurley made the decision, for reasons best known only to him, to arrest Mr. Duminci. It was a very physical arrest. He restrained Mr. Duminci in no uncertain way, threw him into the back of the police van, transported him to the watch house, and then came into conflict, physical conflict again, with Mr. Duminci inside the watch house. Very shortly after that, Mr. Duminci was lying on the watch house floor, dying. And he actually did die of massive internal injuries that could only have been delivered by a member of the Queensland Police Service, because only police officers were in the watch house at that time. So
yeah,
there are a number of key lessons that need to be learnt from what happened at the watch house. But unfortunately, the Queensland Police Service and the Queensland Police Union appear to be too concerned with protecting the interests of their police and not trying to uncover exactly what happened in the watch house on that day.
Yeah, and this is going on 6 years down the track from that incident now, and I understand there's still court proceedings going on. Can you give us an update about what's going on?
Yeah, there have been three separate inquests into the events of that day, into the death of Mr. Duminci. There's a third inquest under a judge by the name of Hines, finished up last Friday in Brisbane, and Mr. Hines gave an undertaking that he will deliver his findings on May the 14th, we hope that'll happen. And a senior lawyer who appeared before the inquest, Mr. Davis, submitted that there were sufficient grounds to find that Senior Sergeant Chris Hurley was criminally responsible for the death of Mr. Duminci, which echo the findings of the second coroner, who was Miss Christine Clements. Miss Christine Clements, when she conducted her second inquest into this death, made a definite finding that Senior Sergeant Chris Hurley had caused the death of Mr. Duminci. Mr. Davis, representing the Attorney General, made a similar recommendation that he found he urged the coroner to make a finding that Mr. Hurley did cause the death of Mr. Duminci. So we hope that Mr. Hines will take all these matters on board, and hope that when he hands down his findings on the 14th of May, that there will finally be justice for Mr. Duminci, now deceased, and the family and loved ones on Palm Island.
Yeah, so that'll happen on the 14th of May.
Yes.
Okay. Given what we've been talking about, relations, the way that police deal with Aboriginal people when they have the choice of taking them into custody or otherwise, do you have an opinion about why the police are so ready to take Aboriginal people into custody?
Well, the Royal Commission urged police to use incarceration as a final resort, but unfortunately it's being used by some working police as a first and only option, and that should be avoided. I mean, we've found in Brisbane, working with certain sections of the Queensland Police Service, that a number of our working police would prefer to deliver their clients straight to Murray Watch, and that's worked well. But unfortunately, in other parts of the state, there appears to be this police culture still in place, where police still prefer to use incarceration as one and only option. And as I said, when people are placed into incarceration, unfortunately, the system is not functioning well enough to protect the interests of those people, and in many cases, the police are failing their duty of care to the prisoners, and the prisoners are suffering, and in many cases, those prisoners are unfortunately dying.
Yep. Do you have any... We probably might wrap it up now, but do you have any any suggestions for listeners who might want to have some kind of impact on this issue?
Well, this is a problem that not only impacts on Aboriginal members of the community, this is a problem that also impacts right across the community on other people. I mean, in Townsville overnight, we learned of this situation where an Aboriginal man with a mental health problem presented himself to the Townsville Hospital. The police became involved, and this Aboriginal man ended up dead. So, and this brings in the stark contrast again, stark relief that this problem of how the criminal justice system interacts with people with mental health problems. So it's not only restricted to Aboriginal people, it impacts on people with mental health problems, it impacts on homeless people, it impacts on people who come into contact with the legal system. So we all need to be aware of this, and we all need to be vigilant, so that if the system is breaking down, we need to hold, as a community, we need to hold the system criminally responsible and criminally accountable. So I'd urge your listeners out there to support these political campaigns, to sign petitions, to bring your pressure to bear on the local state members to make sure that the implementations, the recommendations of the Royal Commission are put into place.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks.